Anyone want that order? Thank you, please.
Mayor Williams?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tim Berenger?
Here.
Councilmember Johns?
Present.
Councilmember Kennedy?
Here.
Councilmember Marshburn? And Councilmember Singleton?
Here.
Thank you, Lisa. Mayor, please, thank you, Mayor.
With allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Mayor, I've invited Pastor Joe Francisco from the Capitol Church to deliver the invitation this evening.
Thank you so much. As we start tonight, can we just take a moment to have a moment of silence for our fellow Americans in Las Vegas who have witnessed such a terrible tragedy? Let's have a moment of silence. Heavenly Father, we come before you today thanking you for your grace and mercy in our lives, but also with heavy hearts, knowing that our fellow Americans have experienced such a horrific tragedy in Las Vegas. Lord, when we think of those and all the other, so many other things that are affecting our nation today, we truly say we need your touch in our lives. And so, Lord, we ask you today to guide us and lead us and direct us. May your hand be upon this town council and upon the meeting that we have tonight. Lord, may your wisdom be before us, and Lord, we ask you to guide us and give us the grace that we need each and every day of our life. May your wisdom be before us tonight, and Lord, we pray that you will guard this meeting, keep it, and may it honor you in all things. Bless this council, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
If you like
Thank you so much. First, I'd like to say what an incredible facility here. It's my first time in it. You guys have done an incredible job, and thank you for your leadership in this and in the police department and the community center that's being built, and in so many other ways, your leadership is being shown, and we thank you for that. The Capitol Church is doing well. We're at the corner of Highway 70 and Timber Drive. I've been there for about 54 years now, and we are just grateful to be a part of the community of Garner and just want to continue to see that thrive. Over the next couple of months, we have some great events coming up. October 25th, Trunk or Treat, where we try to reach out to the community, providing an alternative to Halloween. And then also this Christmas, we're looking forward to a Christmas musical production that we did last year as well. It's called Who Is This Child? And we invite all of you to be a part of that. It was fantastic last year. We're looking forward to doing that again this year. And just, again, grateful to be a part of the Garner community. And thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Next is petition comments. That is how I'm important to the best council. I mean, that is not only the if you want the best council, come to the best place, many others, and then come. Anyway, it's off the top of the agenda. Let me tell you, I've had one of the three of you citizens, population of best council life. What's the doctor?
Second.
All in
favor? Aye.
All opposed? Presentation to the Mayor Pro Tem Johns, Welcome, Helen.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
My name is Helen Clarman. I'm here on behalf of the League of Women Voters of Wake County, a nonpartisan political organization working to encourage active participation in government. On August 24th, the League hosted its annual Women's Equality Day reception in celebration of the 19th Amendment, which granted women the right to vote. That evening, we recognized all women elected to state county offices, to city councils within Wake County, and to the judiciary. Unfortunately, Mayor Pro Tem Kathy Dellinger was unable to attend. I'm here to present her with a certificate of appreciation that she would have received that evening. The certificate reads as follows. The League of Women Voters of Wake County presents this certificate to Mayor Pro Tem Kathy Dellinger for her public service in celebration of Women's Equality Day. On behalf of the League, I thank you for your services to Bonner. Congratulations. This is for you, too.
A couple more presentations before that, Mr. Mayor. Correct. Mr. Mayor, Town Council, wanted to take some time out of the agenda today to recognize some folks. You know, we had a grand opening for this building, a ribbon that included a ribbon cutting, and we had a lot of good comments over the last few weeks about this building, but I wanted to recognize three people. A lot of people had a lot to do with the building and the way it turned out, but the engineering department was basically in charge of the construction from beginning to end. That included, you know, the bid documents and putting it out for bid and some of the other processes that we had to go through. So I wanted to recognize publicly Tony Chalk, right here, for his work. And we had, the town clerks had some mementos made, some keepsakes that we were giving to some others, and wanted to recognize them publicly and thank them for all the hard work. Thanks, Tony. Thanks for everything. Beautiful building. Thanks for all the hard work. So Tony was in charge of basically the whole project with construction management and interacting with the contractors and architects and making sure everything was done properly. So thanks, Tony. Thank you. Next, I'm going to recognize Morgan King. Thank her for her hard work. Morgan had a lot to do with the ordering of the furniture and some of the electronics and computers, and just interfacing with a lot of the suppliers, the things that that you furnish the building with after it's built. And so she worked real hard and stayed on them until we got the last piece. Well, we might need a couple more pieces, but for the most part, we're pretty close. So thank you, Morgan, for all the hard work. Thank you, Morgan. Appreciation. Thank you. And lastly, but not least, Jonathan Hamm. He's assistant town engineer. And wanted to thank Jonathan for his hard work with some of the oversight, construction management, and some of the documentation that he had to do throughout the project. And all the hard work he did to make it come to fruition. So thanks, Jonathan, for this. And like I said, many staff members contributed to the building and the success of this building, but I just in particular wanted to recognize them because they lived and breathed it every day. And filled with a lot of phone calls, a lot of complaints here and there, and you know, made a lot of site visits and did what they had to do to make this a beautiful building that it is. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You can ask the president.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the next two items on the agenda are a little special type of hearing that the town council conducts from time to time, which has, according to state law, has its own special bells and whistles. And it's my duty as town attorney to give a little opening statement to explain some of what's going on in these two cases. They are a conditional use permit application, CUP SP 17-11, for Cheer Extreme, for a site plan to approve a gymnasium. And the other one is CUP SP 1715, Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Now, both of these, I'm going to make an opening statement, which is going to apply to both these cases, rather than repeating it over in the next case, just for making things move along a little bit. Basically, these are what's called quasi-judicial hearings, quasi meaning sort of, and judicial means a court. So it's sort of like a court in the sense that these hearings are not just a matter of people standing up and saying whatever's on their mind and whatever their feelings are and whatever their thoughts are on a given issue. That's a legislative hearing. This is a hearing where the applicant has applied for a specific permit, and the ordinance has a long detailed list of factors which must be considered regarding whether to adopt that permit or not. Basically, among the rules and regulations that apply are that persons who give testimony in this type of hearing are expected to be experts in the field, and when you stand up and give your testimony, please give your name and your business address if you like, and just identify what you do and your how you happen to have the expertise to do what you do, and that'll make the record complete in this case. That'll be true of the staff witness and the applicant's witnesses. Basically, the other thing that's unique about these types of hearings is that the mayor is supposed to direct some questions to staff members, to the council members regarding whether they have had what the law calls any ex parte communications. Now, an ex parte communication, it's a Latin word that's used in court cases, and it refers to a communication about the subject matter of the application from someone outside of this hearing, like a phone call, an email to a council member or whatever. And what the law provides is that if there have been any such ex parte communications, the council member who received that communication should disclose it. And so when we get into this, the mayor will ask the council if they've received any ex parte communications in either of these cases, and they'll disclose it if they have. The next question which the mayor will ask the council members is whether any member of the council has, before they got here tonight and heard your evidence in this case, whether any member has any preconceived notions that would create bias or prejudice against giving a fair and impartial decision in the case. All right, now, if they say no, they haven't, then we'll proceed. What we'll do in each of these cases is ask the people who are going to testify, and I think it's the same staff person in both of them, so I think we probably just do this all together. If you're going to testify in either one of these two permit cases, would you come forward and be administered the oath by the clerk?
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, you may want to call the Chair Extreme matter here at this point and direct the appropriate questions to the council, and then we'll be ready to proceed.
Okay, how about the council? Should we close in? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
And Mr. Mayor, I would point out that you have a staff report in front of you. Some of the sheets did not print out in your agenda packet, so you may need to refer to the report you have in front of you also with the town logo on it. It says Planning Department staff report in conjunction with what's in the agenda packet.
Okay, first time
Good afternoon, good evening, rather. Clerk recommend is Allison Jones, Retainer 2, address and number 307th Avenue, hearing in Garner, Muslim. The first site plan we're going to discuss tonight is Shear Extreme, CUP SP 1711. The applicant is Randall Helton, which is here with us tonight. The address is 6501 Garland Station Boulevard. The particular, this parcel is about 2 acres in size. Adjacent uses to this particular development. North of this site is undeveloped with zone service business. The south is multi-family with existing multi-family park homes. The east side is service business with retail sales that are existing. And the western side is service business. Some of it is undeveloped and some of it is office space. The Shear Extreme is a gymnasium slash entertainment facility for patrons to go to learn and practice their gymnastics and cheerleading. It's a one-story building, 18,400 square feet, and the materials are made out of brick, a reddish brown brick color. And these, this is the elevation. You can see the reddish brown brick. And the awnings go with the interest. The landscaping. The street buffer is a 15-foot wide buffer for the street, and perimeter buffer is also 15 feet as well. However, the planning director did grant a reduction of the eastern buffer to 11 feet in size due to the existing utility easement, and we also reduced the buffer on the western side to allow for, it's already existing plant material in that area, so we don't need to over plant that. Even though we did reduce some of those buffers, all of the material that is reduced in those areas still will be called requirements of land. Parking is based on one space for every 3 people. The facility will hold when it's fully at its full use, plus one space for every 200 square feet of gross floor area. We didn't want to calculate the hallway and air closet as space to be used as far as calculations for parking. There are 58 spaces required and 3 accessible. The applicant provided 76 parking spaces and 3 accessible. This project is subject to both the water quantity and quality nitrogen requirements. The payment to the private mitigation bank will be also required to bring the overall project into compliance with the use river rules. It's not in the floodplain. The fire department inspections department has reviewed and approved the plan as provided. One connect to water, public water and sewer. There's one driveway off of Garner Station Boulevard that will allow for ingress and egress to this parking. the sidewalk along Franklin Street will connect to the entrance sidewalk. And this is the overall site. Staff finds that the application is consistent with town plan and policies. Staff recommends the approval of this site plan with the two minor deviations, one of those being a reduction of the buffer, as I stated earlier, and also connecting an internal sidewalk to the Francis sidewalk. The Plan Commission also recommends this site plan bill with two of the conditions that I named earlier, the reduction in the buffer and the internal sidewalk connection, and also increase the curb radii at entrance. I'm going to go back to the site plan and show the two circles. That's where the increased radii is coming to place already. And I'll refer the council to refer to section 6 of their staff report to move to approve it or move to deny the application.
Okay, is this both here in English? I'm for it. Okay.
Good evening. My name is Randall Helton, and I am a managing member of Church Dream Raleigh, LLC. I'm here to answer any questions if need be. Some of the recent stipulations that were put on the project for the sidewalk to meet from the parking lot to the entrance to the street sidewalk and to increase the radii has already been put in place. And aside from the sidewalk, it has been submitted.
Mine is more of a curiosity question. Sure. Every time I see the term gymnasium, I think about what grade is on. It's probably the thing that we just call. Can you tell us what type of activity will be the dominant activity in this gym?
Foreign industry to me as well. This is something my wife has done for 25 years, and it is all-star cheerleading. It's comparable to a kind of a luxury sport, so anything where you travel and have a higher rating of talented athletes, and that's what it's composed of. So my wife, something outside of a high school or middle school cheerleading. They participate in this activity, and our gym will be solely used for practices for our teams and our current athletes. And then they travel to compete against other teams around the country and then around the world when they meet in Orlando for their world championship. So, we just have kids coming in from 5:30 to 9:30 on average throughout the week for our workouts. Maybe some light classes during the day, and weekends are our longer hours. And that's it. We just cycle different teams in at a time.
Interesting. Will you be able to host any of the events?
The only type of event that we host is one for a certain amount of teams that we have that make it to certain competitions. If they have qualified essentially to go to Dallas is a big one, the World Championship, we only have a few that meet that standard, and when they do, we offer our clients and family members to come in and cheer them on, and they show their 2.5-minute routine And that's essentially it. So that's the only time that we have South Court sort of an influx, which is why I try to maximize the parking, because I've done a pretty solid takeoff of where we currently are on customers at a given time.
You have one local that's in your area?
We currently operate on the north end of town off of Wake Forest Road, St. Albans, it's just north of 440, just east of North Hills. And she's been there for 11 years. There are 11 locations. They're home base. My wife is from Gunnersville, and there are 11 other locations. However, we solely own and operate this one out of Raleigh. We are in a lease where we currently operate until July, end of July of next year, which is when I'm looking to have a completion date for this facility. So then we'll only have one location at the time. Once I build Rubus here to run.
Right on.
Yes.
Yes. Any
From what area are you attracting teams that will come to practice?
This one's kind of impressive, because I don't have anything to do with it. This is all about my wife and her staff. But we have athletes that travel and parents, that there could be elementary age kids from Virginia, Charlotte, Wrightsville Beach. They relocate from other states. But we will not host any other organization and or team. These are only our athletes that are on teams, and we currently have roughly 350 athletes.
So if they're coming in and spending a specific amount of time here and are essentially getting individual team-only training in your facility?
Correct.
And then the next team will come in?
Yes.
With the rotating?
Yes. This drawing didn't show, but for three floors that are competition size that they compete on, hence the reason of the 18,000 square feet. A single floor that they compete on is 54 by 42. So I have three of those. We could have three teams. However, the average size team is really maybe around 20 athletes. And some might have 12 if they're the little kids or something. And that's the average count. And we'll have three at a time, and then they circulate out, and three more in the evening hours from 5:30 to 9:30.
So this is a relocation from North Raleigh here. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Garner.
Well, thank you. My wife and I actually live in Renaissance Park, so this would be a walk to kind of work thing for us.
Assuming, of course, this is positive, but
yes,
it hasn't hurt anything. At least so wise.
That's true.
Thank you, Brandon.
I'll ask the question first. On the permit we have, it has the one specific condition, but during the presentation, we saw two other conditions. So we make a motion that we say one specific condition or three specific conditions?
Three specific conditions.
Okay. They combine one. But Elton mentioned that he's already taken care of two of them.
Yeah, the planning commission recommended the increased radii, and he's already taken care of that. That's why I've shown that to him on the site. So some of these have already had been taken care of after the planning commission meeting.
So we are back to one site-specific condition.
Yes, it is correct.
I move that the council accept the staff statements regarding the plan consistency and section 4 of this report as our own and find the application meets the 10 permit criteria in section 3.14.D and therefore approve conditional use permit CUP SP-17-11 Shear Extreme with the one site specific condition listed on the application, a reduction in the east and west perimeter buffers from 15 to 11 feet has been granted in accordance with section 7.1.D1.
May I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Just so I'm not confused. Was there also a condition to tie sidewalk to existing sidewalk, was that a condition or just the...
Yes, but he's done that.
Okay, so he's good. Okay, all right.
All right.
All questions?
We
got
another subject.
Next item, consider the position of the site plan to the CSD 715 Valley Hill.
This is Valvoline Interval Change, CEP SQ 1715. The applicant is Valvoline. The owner of the lot right now is Auto Car Wash Incorporated. It's located right off of Highway 70, 1517 US 70 West. The parcel is about an acre in size. Here's an overview of the surrounding parcels beside it near the property north of the Battle Lane site is existing community retail and restaurants, other commercial activities. On the southern tip of this property is community retail space, and also a piece of it is single family. On the eastern side is retail, hotel, and car wash. It's own service business. On the western side is community retail, gas station, and other retail aspects. As all probably aware of, Valvoline change oils. This vehicle service limited is it's a one-story building, roughly 2,250 square feet in size. The brick material that will be used to construct the Valvoline will match the existing automobile that is right beside it. And here is the elevations for Valvoline. The tree requirements are being met by existing trees that are already there on site. There is also a 15 feet. Street buffer, and perimeter buffers are 15 feet as well. There is a little change on this one. A landscape easement is required to meet the perimeter buffer requirements on the eastern side. The easement must be recorded prior to issuing a building permit for that. And there we are, this condition. Parking is based on 5 spaces per day, plus 1 for each employee. Just to make you guys aware, there's already a joint access agreement that Autodale has with Valvoline, so that Valvoline cars can come onto the site immediately and all theirs. There are 13 parking spaces required, and they have been 13 plot with one accessible. This project is subject to both water quantity and quality requirements. And a payment from the private mitigation bank will also be required to bring the overall project into compliance with new SRIP rules. The inspection department has reviewed site plan and given their approval. This project will connect to public water and sewer service. The site will be accessed directly off US 70, and due to the very short length of the possible sidewalk, the fee in lieu was proposed instead. And here is a copy of the site. Staff finds that their site plan is consistent with the town plans and policies. Staff recommends the approval of Valvoline with a few minor deviations, that the recorded cross-parking agreement and joint use of the dumpster supervisor to staff prior to the issuance of building permit and the evidence of the reported landscape easement that I've mentioned in regards to the buffer being met. The Planning Commission has recommended approval too as well, with along with the two that I just named previously, and also evidence of the state determination regarding the continuing use of monitoring wells. I want to go back to, I'm going to see where my first is, but over this area, two monitoring wells, and that we staff would like to make sure that those wells are still being monitored as site is still construction and after the fact too as well. So that's why I'm planning to mention after that. Council, could you please refer to section 6 of your staff report to either move to approve the application or to deny the application?
Okay, this is something can we ask a question first? Nothing about her.
Allison, I'm looking at the plans and I'm looking at what appears to be a property line. It gives me the impression that a portion of the facilities are actually across the property line towards the southeast corner of the building. Is that long dash and two short dash line, is that a property line? Or?
Correct. Yes.
Maybe it's just crossing a concrete area. I cannot really tell, but apparently, is it or is it not that the building's encroaching across the property line?
The building's not encroaching across the property line.
Then I saw there that there were certain easement requirements on the east side.
Yes, that's for we recommended that they require the obtaining easements to meet the perimeter buffer for that eastern side. And so they have to get the easement from Olivetville in order to put planting on Olivetville property.
Okay, so that building that we do see there that's owned by or shown as CAH Holdings, that is Olivetville. And it's a relatively short distance between the two.
Yes.
Will they access Olivetville between the two buildings, or how will that happen?
If you look, I'm not sure how the screen looks like. If you look at the screen, they'll access it on the other side of Valvoline, if that makes sense. And they already have a joint access agreement so that Valvoline people and Olivetville's patrons can come in on the same driveway, so to speak. All the other people go around and come to all the other and normally do.
Okay. That leads me to my next question. So the two double arrows are the only entrance to the site.
Yes.
On the plans that we have, it shows an arrow shows in the second driveway where you have here your red arrow that is going back out as right only. The plans we had show it coming, it's coming into the property. If you need to see it, come look at the set.
I'm going to look at that, what the applicant said, what's up here is correct.
Y'all look at that, and then I'll follow up.
Thank you.
page C2.1.
It's incorrect on the site plan. It's supposed to be the way up here is correct.
Okay. Now, maybe I'm digging too far into the weeds. Might have asked the owner. Since you've got joint use of a driveway, you got it on paper. Are these two separate business entities that really have to go by that need this legal agreement, or are they essentially owned by the same one and it's the owners have covered most of the other details?
It's two separate entities. I'm going to let the applicant talk in detail about that.
Thank you very much. That's all I have right now. Thank you.
Yes, you. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council. My name is Chris Bostick. I'm with Kimley Horn, 421 Federal Street, Raleigh. I'm a registered professional engineer in North Carolina, 17 years of experience with Kimley Horn. Also with me tonight is Mike Slattery with Valvoline. He's here to answer any questions that you might have. We've worked with Valvoline on several other projects in the area, Wake Forest, Raleigh, and Holly Springs. I'm here tonight to say Austin did a great job with the staff presentation. We've reviewed the plan, design plan being in accordance with parking, stormwater, circulation, and landscape requirements for the town. We've also worked in great coordination with Autobell, because Autobell is selling this property to Valvoline, and that is a very high priority for them as their business can continue to function when Valvoline comes here. This question got asked at the previous hearing, but as you drive by the site, the Valvoline will actually sit. There's a green grass pad beside the Autobell today, and that's exactly where the Valvoline is going to sit. And so, yes, there are many agreements, some shared parking, cross access, and then the landscaping easement that Austin referred to that are going to be a part of this agreement. If you have any questions, I'm here to answer.
Any more questions?
Yes.
Is Autobell aware of that access and egress, only that right turn going out only, or are they aware that it's only one way?
Yes, sir. They have reviewed our plans in great detail. I think we went through a couple of different iterations on things on the layout to make this look happy.
Okay, and it's fine with me, whichever way you do it. When I saw the arrow going in there, it was an obvious thing, red flag, raised question.
Yes, sir, I apologize for the typo. I'm sorry it caused confusion.
No, not a problem.
Any more questions or comments?
I'm good.
I probably should understand it by looking at the schematic here. So, I know an Autobell, before I take my automobile from time to time to get a watch, on a busy day, there's quite a few, I guess, they're plenty of buildings as they're finishing processing the vehicles. And occasionally, that might be a little bit of a challenge to the injectors there, but that's not an issue. Even with the egress or ingress traffic, from your perspective, is that right?
That's correct. The ingress traffic from the Valvoline will never interact with that at all. And then the egress traffic from Valvoline, I would suspect, if you see my cursor, will likely use this driveway to leave the facility. And you're right, I think, Autobell uses this area to detail the cars.
They also use the area up there to detail the cars. I've been there many a time, and it's maxed out to the driveway. It's going to be interesting. It's a full busy day. How you get those cars if the Valvoline is moving the cars out of there? It's going to be interesting.
We actually did the original design of Autobell and done a couple other Autobells before too, and I know that from their operational standpoint, having that area to detail cars is important to them. So from my standpoint, the fact that they're okay with whatever that modified operation is going to be is a pretty important thing here too.
I'm closing the public hearing. Calling for a motion. I'm prepared to make the motion to this review. I move that the council accept the staff statement regarding claim consistency in section 4. This report is our only primary application. We should attend permission to operate in section 3.1.4.1 3.14.4 is that D, and therefore approved condition of permit. CUV SP715 Valvoline, 10 strip oil change. Three site specific conditions. Excuse me, conditions listed on the attached permit.
Okay.
One in favor, both in favor. All in favor, if you're here this evening as part of the Garner 101 program, and I believe there's several folks, maybe see you back there. Why don't you just stand and take a bow, if you don't mind, or stand up. Okay, October is our cancer awareness month. We have a proclamation. Councilmember Sullivan.
Proclamation, whereas breast cancer touches the lives of Americans from every background and into every community across our nation. Great strides have been made in combating this devastating illness. Thousands of women and men will be diagnosed with breast cancer this year, and tens of thousands of women are expected to lose their lives from this disease. In National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we honor those who have lost, lend our strength to those who carry on the fight, and pledge to educate ourselves and our loved ones about this tragic disease. And whereas the causes of breast cancer are unknown, understanding these risk factors is essential to prevention. Older women and those who have a personal or family history of breast cancer are among those in greater risk of developing the illness. Early detection is also key in the fight against breast cancer. Any recommended screening mammograms can help detect breast cancer early. Women and men are encouraged to speak with their health care provider about breast cancer and to visit www.cancer.gov to learn more about the symptoms, diagnosis, and treatment. And whereas this month we stand with the mothers, daughters, sisters, aunts, and friends who have been affected by breast cancer, and we recognize the ongoing efforts of dedicated advocates, researchers, and health care providers to strive each day to defeat this terrible disease. In memory of the loved ones we have lost and inspired by the resilience of those living with the disease, let us strengthen our resolve to lead our nation to a future free from cancer in all its forms. Now, therefore, I, Mayor Ronnie S. Williams, do hereby proclaim October 2017 as National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I encourage citizens, government agencies, private businesses, nonprofit organizations, and all other interested groups to join in activities that will increase awareness of what we can do to prevent breast cancer. Time on this being stated October 2nd, 2017.
And we got a motion to accept the proclamation. So, I'd like to make that all the way
up on
the other. I have. Thank you, Brad. So, thanks for the love and thanks for the time to have. Okay,
good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council. The item you have before you tonight is locally administered projects agreement that the town has approved in order for us to receive the matching funds that we applied for and received from the state of North Carolina and federal government. The town has received approval for matching funds from NCDOT and CAMPO to construct 0.75 miles of sidewalk along Taylor Drive. If you look at your screens, I put up a map that our planning department put together for this project. The new sidewalk would connect the existing sidewalks at Blanton Street to the existing sidewalk that we recently constructed at Stowe Place. And then on the other side of Avery'sboro Road, on the east side of Avery'sboro Road, it would connect the existing sidewalk at Hearth Drive to the Food Line Shopping Center just short of NC50. And what this will do is it will create a sidewalk along the south side of Timber Drive from Bandor Springs Road all the way to White Oak. Also included in this project, there will be 5 pedestrian crossing upgrades. On the map in front of you, there's green dots where these signal heads will be placed. There will be 1 crossing, which would wind up being 2 signal heads at Thompson Road, and then 4 crossings which would basically be all four movements at Bandura Springs and Tigger Drive as well. The project estimate is about $406,690. Of course, that will change whenever we get bids. But federal funds will cover 80% of this cost, so the town will have to match 20% in order to get the 80%. So with that, I'll take any questions you may have.
We know with previous projects when we do these grants for the federal government and state involved, that they move at a very deliberate speed. Do we have any idea that once we approve this tonight, what may be an expected time for construction in the future?
If we approve this tonight, then work will start tomorrow on putting together the RFQ for the consultant selection. That selection will probably take us about a month or two. With that and the timeline that we've given the state that gives us a little bit of a wider window, I'd say probably within a year and a half to 2 years we would have everything completed.
That long?
Well, it could be much, much shorter. It's just that's the window that we've given the state of North Carolina just to give ourselves time to get all the agreements through.
And the last one for these bids was the sidewalk from Timber, the one on Don Miller Drive at Claymore. And that took about a year and a half to start to finish.
Any right of way required?
No, sir. It would all be within existing rights of way. We believe that there's no environmental permitting required because most of it's within the graded shoulder of Timber Drive, and most of that's graded to about where the sidewalk would be.
Could you restate the source and the amount?
The source is actually it's NCDOT. It's a federal program, CMAQ, which is congestion management and air quality. That is where a large portion of the funding comes from. They do not fund the pedestrian signal heads, so that funding has actually been brought to us by CAMPO to supplement the CMAQ funding to provide the full 80%. The town's 20% we proposed would come from street and sidewalk bond project dollars.
Okay, so are these federal funds administered by state DOT or is it pure state DOT?
It's federal funds administered by DOT and through CAMPO. That's the local agency that we deal with.
And the total amount was?
The total amount for the project was, we estimated $406,000. Again, that's a rough number that we just put together as a budgetary number. It could go up, it could go down. The match should stay the same as long as we can let them know ahead of time.
But is the grant amount larger than that to cover it, or are we just betting that we got the right estimate?
Well, staff put in a contingency to make sure that we're covered.
Do we have to bankroll the project, or will they only advance money after the construction is done? Meaning, have we better have the full amount of the dollars in the bank and then wait for reimbursement?
Yeah. They'd like to see the money spent before they'll reimburse.
So we... Okay. Thanks. I'll leave it at that. But with no right-of-way acquisition, environmental issues, what's the total length that we think will be under contract?
It's about 0.75 miles, 3/4 of a mile.
That's a good use of the dollars, that's for sure, and having 20%. Well, will our individual investment or solely owned investment on the signal heads, does that count towards our 20% match?
Well, the signal heads are also an 80-20 match.
Okay.
The difference is the funding source. The signal heads will be done through CAMPO and the state's transportation funding. So it's just a different source of money, but still the same 80-20 match.
So we've got about a fifth of the project, and so that will be bottom line, worst case, under $100,000 in local dollars. Mm-hmm.
And in regard to Mr. Kennedy's question, I'm looking at a funding table. Is that a good guidance? Am I seeing correctly here? Subtotal $81,338, which would be the total amount of town.
That is correct, sir. That's on. That's under the executive summary of the agreement.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. The natural dollars we're estimating we would be able to put more than
8,000 to 3,300.
Yes. Okay. Anyone else? Can we have a motion
outside
of 18?
So moved.
All in favor,
aye.
Thank you.
This is something I'm supposed to serve with the title card. I didn't bring that
up. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. In the previous work session, we discussed some changes to the sidewalk projects on Spring Drive and Red North Springs Road. The consultant has gotten their supplemental agreements back to us. It's taken some time for Councilman Kennedy's question earlier regarding time to construct. Everyone seems to be almost overwhelmed in getting something this simple back. It's taken 3 months. But the agreements before you tonight to modify the design services contract. We'll discuss, are there any questions that you have regarding that?
From our new company that succeeded Time Warner, has had some of the same issues that Time Warner did. So I couldn't get this, still can't get access to Wi-Fi access or internet access. So tell me a little bit, just sketchy of why they're coming back for $39,000 or $34,000 add on.
The 34 is the total, 2013. The conversation, I was somewhat surprised that the Red North Springs Road product was priced at where it was. Again, I think all prices are going up, but the consultant did indicate that he had to go back and rework the elevations at all of the cross sections. If you'll remember back, one of the things we're doing with this is kind of changing the center line of Van North Springs Road from Timber Drive to Tiffany Circle, and it just caused the engineer to have to go back and redraw and recalculate that. So that is why we're having that one go up. There's some engineering services there. Another thing, Mr. Kennedy, that you'll note in your package, that there's some fairly significant prices for the environmental road control work in the Spring Drive project. There's $7,500 additional cost for storm drainage and erosion control, and then also another $4,700 charge for surveying, additional surveying. As you will recall, we're extending the curb and gutter from the southern boundary of the Catholic Church all the way to the intersection of Foxwood Drive on Spring Drive. That was the additional service that we incorporated into this project.
What was the original design fee, do you recall?
The original fees, sir, were $78,400 for the Van North Springs Road project and $61,900 for the Spring Drive project. If you want an individual breakdown on those, the Van North Springs project is an increase of 17% for this particular work. It's slightly higher on the Spring Drive project, which I would expect when they are doing more surveying and design work.
And is this a project is estimated to cost about $1.5 million?
I don't think it'll be that expensive, sir. No, sir. The Spring Drive project will be, we had originally estimated, I think, $225 million. It's going to be more than that because we added scope to it with the introduction of the curb and gutter sidewalk along Federal Springs Road to connect up and complete that loop. That's probably going to add another $80,000 to $100,000. I'm guessing somewhere in the $300,000 range would be that project scope.
Okay. Thank you,
Tom. Tommy, remind me, I'm sure you told me before, the section from Timber down to Tiffany Woods.
Yes, sir.
Which side of Vandora?
That is going on the fire station side of Vandora Springs Road. However, we're getting curb and gutter on both sides of the road.
Okay. Did you say the road will be slightly widened?
Yes, sir. And we are lobbying to give as much pavement structure as we can get and still fit it between the head wall at Van Horn Springs Road. That is our control point there. That's really what limits our pavement with.
It won't create
a
turn lane?
No, sir. There we don't, but the pavement section is wide enough at the intersection of Timber and Van Horn Springs moving northward. So we're kind of picking up where the state stopped in the Timber Drive project and proceeding south towards Clifton Circle.
Good. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Can you list the project in the comments?
So moved. Sir.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you. I want to thank you for my
Thank you, Mayor. It's important to note that we just talked about the sidewalk on Timber Drive. There's three sidewalks on Spring Drive. Looking at what the school system is installing right now, the reconstruction of the Bummer High School. And this would connect a loop from Foxwood down Landor, Spring Drive, and then massive loop, another massive loop in town finally connected. And then as Mr. Salt noted, the one on Bangor Springs Road will go south from the fire department down to the Tiffany Circle. And it will improve the stormwater situation. That is, those ditches have eroded over the years on both sides of the road. So when the once the project came, it goes to the creek, we have to wait for the federal government
We have to get a clone for the work that we're doing at the creek. We're not doing any country, we're not doing any culvert extensions there, but we do have to get a clone or permission to put our infrastructure into the floodway.
It takes several months, but hopefully the construction list will start sometime next year.
Yes, sir.
And we have a sidewalk under construction on Thompson Road. So building sidewalks and planning for more.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask one more question.
You can answer this question first. That's for later. No, that's for later. That's for later. Yeah, I thought you were finished.
I'm sorry. I was distracted.
I simply couldn't. I didn't have anything to read just to be prepared for this. So part of the reason that we're going back and increasing the contract, engineering services contract, is to widen the area where they were doing, they having to go back and do additional survey with, because they were concentrating on one kind of a cross section and they needed to add on to that.
Yes, sir. The question came back to council regarding really how to conform with the limitation that we have at Culver. And I think this is the best way to consult with the planning director over the matter. It does allow for additional lane width for bikes going north and south in that area from Timber down. And then also, and I don't know if this is part of your question, but we are extending the curb better to get the lane widths to align better. We found that after survey data was gathered on the Federal Springs Road Park north of the intersection of Spring Drive, that the lane widths were very small there, and we could widen where we were putting the curb gutter, but it really gives us more of a finished product moving north and allows us to align the lane widths and complete somewhat of a complete cross section on the Van Horn Springs Road section running from Foxwood Drive down to Spring Drive.
I was just surprised that during an initial survey, you can't limit your survey to 10 feet off the edge of the pavement because there's too many things out there to affect your design. So when somebody comes back and asks for an additional width when we're moving 4 or 5 feet, it did not. I was a little bit taken aback by that. I'll just leave it at that.
Yes, sir. Any further questions?
Committee reports. Manager report.
All right, Mr. Mayor. I guess referring back to committee reports, in our discussion last week with the fire department, there was a mention about developing a memorandum of understanding, and that there would be, you know, a couple of council members that would participate in that process. Wanted to know, you know, has the council decided who that might be, or if you want to get back with me at a later date so we can start putting some material together and send some of that dates and times for potential meetings up. Any volunteers or any process you want to use
to go ahead and offer
up to that? Councilmember Kennedy was the one that I was on. Have you had second thoughts? Do you want to do it instead? All right. Anybody else want?
We're
going to
have two
in each area. Correct. Two. Two at the most. I mean, you could do one.
But if the other council member wanted to be the second, I'd be happy to defer to him.
We want to be able to do it.
All right. Thank you very much. You have Garner Info report there. And if you have questions, one reason I had Tony, I slipped Tony that copy was, I saw there was a question about the work that had been done on Buffalo Road after the fact. I guess it messed up some of the landscaping in some areas. I don't know if another contractor came through or what happened. But, well, he might want to address that in case that question.
I'm not 100% sure. I'm speculating that the HOA has typically done maintenance in that area. I think they were getting it out, prepared for fall season. If this is in reference to the area from White Deer Trail to Bainville Road. That is, I think it's the area that's mentioned in the report, and I think that's what's going on with it.
Okay.
Actually, it's down to the, where they back, the property the subdivision ends there at the creek.
At the creek.
And goes all the way up. Because I saw the folks should do the landscaping for that subdivision out there working on last week. They were getting all the clumps, trying to break up the clumps, get the rocks out. I hope they didn't plant grass seed because it's sure we can do anything right now. But I think it's what they're preparing to do is to put grass seed down so it'll be more uniform.
Okay. So you can follow up and garner info.
I understand. That sounds like it. When you're talking about the segment right there, just below Almond coming back towards Davis Road.
Yes, sir.
You say you think the homeowner association started the process that dug up all that stuff out there?
No, people who do the work, first of all, so not the homeowner association. I think you authorized people who do the yard work out there. They did, I saw them out there doing it with my own eyes. And who does the work there, and I watched them out there working.
Don't let Mr. Wall?
Yes. You Mr. Sutton right there on what's another happen.
But I didn't think they were the ones who did the initial digging up.
No, they did not. I think they chose, they wanted probably seeding of their own and had kind of attacked it very aggressively. Per the email or the where I put it into our info, it was, I think, somewhat your impression, Councilman, that they didn't see the need to do what's being done. Right. Obviously, that as landscapers, they wanted a different product, a different seed, whatever was going in there.
Okay. All right.
A reminder of the advisory board dinner on Thursday night. It'll be at the Civitan Club. I believe it starts 6:30. And we'll have dinner shortly thereafter. That was an invitation only meal to our advisory board volunteers and council. And then wanted to inform you, I received a letter today. Actually, the mayor received a letter, and I got a copy of it from the representatives of Meadowbrook and St. Augue, the representative of St. Augue, and they have decided that as of October 31st, they will relinquish possession of the Meadowbrook premises as a tenant. So sounds like they're no longer going to run the golf club there starting October 31st. So we'll have to have some meetings with them and see how we're going to close out on that and then decide about the future upkeep of the property. Just want to let you know that. And then wanted to see if there had been any comments about the retreat agenda, any changes, any, you know, thing we might need to add or just.
We have a section there, I believe, more about affordable housing, labor force, workforce housing. I know that the county out there, where Mr. Hutchinson, the chair of the county commissioners, has talked about a potential sales tax increase. for the portion of it directed toward affordable housing. That's Article 1. I'm looking to see if he might be available to come and talk about that. I'm assuming the chairman who is going to do this interview for Article on the inside that he's, you know, the leader of that effort, mm-hmm. whenever that may take place, if he may want to come and talk to us about it. He has some good points in his comments, but the amount of money they will take with the 4% sales tax is not going to have a substantial impact because of the number of units that have been lost since 2010. It's just putting a band-aid on the situation. If they want to get serious about affordable housing, then they need to do more than what they're talking about. But because what they're talking about is not going to address the issue the way it should be addressed.
Let me add one comment to that from Mike Gray. I think Commissioner Holmes is the one that's spearheading the affordable housing effort, and we invite the chairman, I think, might invite her as well. I want somebody to give us some basic education on housing, affordable habitat, what all the different variations, and I think they should be a good source, at least as a starting place. So I think we're going to have to, I've been thinking about this whole issue, and then essentially instead of playing a defensive role, we probably need to be on a, consider an offensive role instead of react, we need to be proactive in knowing, educating ourselves and being in a position to be proactive in this case, wherever that role may lead us or if it leads us in place. But I think this is a good start to have them to talk to us. I like that idea of having them. If there's a specific project that would be timely and a good reason to have them come to our retreat, that's it.
All right, we'll extend the invitation. And also, we still have not firmed up the location, but we got a couple of possibilities. We're just trying to figure out the best one, and we'll get back with you on that.
Mr. Dickerson, in light of your comments about Meadowbrook, and I guess I could get back to you later, but I was going to suggest, and I couldn't see if it was on here, that some portion of our agenda on the planning retreat, you might come and circle back to that piece of property and have some discussion about, well, I guess not only where it stands now, but going forward, talk some about master planning or whatever.
And we're going to have some discussions about the CIP and those type of things, and that will certainly fit into that.
Also, like, are we going to have an outside facilitator?
We're working on that also. Actually, I think she's already committed. So yes.
Can we tell who it is?
Pay Carlson. Yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yes, sir, Mayor. Somebody was asking me just recently about cable installation in Lake Moore and along Buffalo River. Has anybody got any idea what kind of fiber optic cable? Who does that serve? Who is the utility provider, I should ask? If you got it, because I think it'd be more to the people interested in that.
Sure, absolutely. The utility provider for that work is going to wind up being AT&T. That's their gigafiber that they're putting in. So this is one of the many installations that they've done over the last 2-3 years. So I've had several conversations with homeowners in that area and given them the contact information for the contractor and for AT&T. As of yet, the last couple of times I've sent them that information has come back positive results.
Is there already fiber optic cable in there by another provider? I'm trying to understand the whole situation.
Not that I'm aware of. This is the first installation. I think AT&T is kind of the one that started out of the gate quickly to try and get ahead of the other providers. There may be fiber in there from Spectrum or Time Warner Cable, but it's probably more branch fiber and not the individual fiber lines going to the small boxes in front of the houses.
Very good. I reckon this is a positive step, then. Okay, good. Some of us had talked about it earlier. I'm not sure everybody heard about it, but it was on Kathy's list. You tell them about West Garner Road. Yeah, whatever.
The house on the corner of Yerkin Road and West Garner Road is gone. We finally got the eyesore turned down, the lights pulled down, and I don't know what's happening next, but the house has been demolished and we can check out.
What do you feel about
that? It was quick to feel about it, but you're right.
That's all I have.
All right, Ms. Voss, I'll follow what you know on Penn Street earlier this week. I saw fireworks shooting off on Penn Street earlier this week.
All right, what do you think about?
Paper separation is an item here about paper separation on the Garner Info report. And I wanted to mention, and the staff's probably already aware, that there's some paper separation on the patchwork on Cool Drive. Y'all know about that? Okay. So they got to get back and do it. Just making sure that's frequently on the soccer field. Now that patchwork is also going to be done. There's no other land in the entire road. It's just patchwork there. In other streets, we did on Middle Street, off of Garner Road, past Angie's, the second road to the right. Anyway, you got passed, which was nice. One of us to thank you. One of us that got passed off, so it was really neat. So that's good.
She also did the work on Pool Drive. We brought that to our attention a month or so ago. Public Works is aware of that. Just to share with you, the super paved mixes that are used now, one of the problems they have with them is it slides. It happens almost in places you wouldn't expect. And if you see that a stop sign where people are applying brakes, you can understand it in a bottom like that. But that's one of the problems they have, and they'll come back and address it. The contractor will address it.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
I just saw the people in prayer that we had talked about a few minutes ago in Las Vegas. Or it could have to do it to us. That's all I
have. Yes, sir. I attended the North Carolina League of Municipalities conference at Greenville the week before last. Again, that was a successful conference. A little bit of confusion about some of the schedule this year, but all in all, it was a good conference, and I was once again ready to do Secretary Clinton and Mr. Governor in the next 2 years. This past Saturday, the pop-up market at Garner Rec Park was a huge success once again. Probably not room to walk and there's any people there, so that's brought a lot of activity in the downtown area on the development. And question about our work session. You said that on October 2nd, we decided whether our work session would be on Halloween or maybe before, so can you make a decision?
We said we'd talk about it. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. But staff, I don't think has an issue with it being on Halloween. We just wanted to give you a choice if there, you know, if you had any events or anything scheduled. But to me, it was just a regular.
Left it on the very first.
31st? We'll keep it on the 31st? All right. It'll work.
That's all.
Well, that's fresh on my mind. Since we didn't move it up and come here out, we didn't ask for permission to be absent to hold that work session since I'll be out of state at that time. I have two or three several items, and Tony's still here. But the first one, we haven't formally had the public viewing of town hall, have we, going to be set after the ribbon cutting?
We haven't had the tour yet.
Yeah, have we given much thought to when we might have that? I've had a couple of people
ask. We tossed out some dates, October. You remember, Matt, exactly which date we settled in on?
Is it
going
to be on like a Saturday?
It would be on a Saturday.
Okay. Well, okay, so we don't know at this point, but I don't think it should get too far out beyond the date that we already occupied the budget and so forth, but we're working on to publicize that some to find out about that.
Yes. We threw out a few dates, but I don't know if it worked for everybody, but we're going to try to do it this month. But okay. Time is kind of creeping away from us, so okay. We'll get back with you on that.
Mm-hmm. And I have a question for Mr. Chalk. I've had at least one constituent who seems to be less enthused about the Avery Street sidewalk, but do I understand, this is something that's already been decided on in terms of the sidewalk going there. There's an informational meeting coming up Thursday week, the deadline of the 12th, after the public to come and look at the plans and to ask questions.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I have had conversations with two residents that are not necessarily in favor of it being on their side of the road.
Right. Okay, that's probably the same one of those that we on that talk with.
And again, I'll bring back concerns shared, obviously, with the manager's office. If any council members desire to attend, we're doing it at the annex there at Navy Street from 6 to 8. It's, again, just an open session with the plans up around the room. The residents can ask questions.
And while I'm asking about streets, this may not be fair since it's the same things, but is Brucemont, is it on a party schedule of any important being done on the idea of residents who live there to express concern about the condition, at least the portion that's close to their particular residence?
Yes. So Brucemont's not on this year's street resurfacing. We will be updating Jonathan, and staff are already looking out for next year's project. We can come back to you with that list once we've got it already, and let council know.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tony. And just a couple other things, Mr. Mayor. I see Mr. Bridges out there. he joined me on Saturday over at a Habitat building site over in Southeast Raleigh, not too far from Garner. And that goes back to his folks' point about affordable housing. Mr. Holmes was there and certainly was, and Habitat is just one element of this process, but there were a number of elected officials there who came out for the occasion, and we all did a little bit of work, probably not that much, but it's a nice article today. It's inside the in-house somewhere. Talking about that. And I had the privilege of attending the Triangle J Regional Summit, which was held over at the Clayton Center on the 28th of September. The theme of that was sort of looking at the urban, suburban, urban divide, and was a good conference. Other than that, I believe that's probably all of those items.
Thank you, Linda, reminded by this coming Thursday fireman plan. Secondly, in my yard on Sunday morning, I had a copy of the North Bend record. Thank you, Linda. I'll bring it. And family, if you want to give us a report again.
Just if y'all would like for me to set up a meeting with our school board representative, let me know and I'll do it.
And there's going to be a planned meeting next week from tonight at the high school. I've had a couple tomorrow, I've put a page in looking at. Wayne County Public School System will host an info session on draft assignment plan October 9th at Garner, excuse me, South Garner High, and the time is about 10 minutes later. Oh my gosh, and the way County Public Schools like, website, I'll take you 3 days to find it. Okay, here we go. 6 p.m. Meeting will start at 6:30, goes up at 6 p.m.
One more reminder, 39 Cushing Club. 39
Cushing.
Any other thing?
Mr. Mayor, I need a closed session. Pursuant to NCGS 143-318-11A3, confer with counsel regarding the matter of pending litigation, specifically Towns versus Mitchell, 16 CVS 014235.
Move to go to closed session, first statute, then noted by the attorney.
Second. Wait a second, I
want to tell you
what I'm doing. Shall we adjourn to the closed session?
Yes, yeah, I think we're going to. Need to do that tonight.
Okay, council, can you vote present?
Previous signature.
There's definitely an ordinance and focus issue to approve some, bad news. Ever since I've been on council or been mayor, I've been able to access this building 24 hours a day for the council. And for the penalty issues, Mikey, I guess, because of what that. If you're here on a Saturday evening, you want to answer that you want to sit down off, can you bring the town stuff up? You have the means to get inside.
Your car can give you access anytime. If you've got a...
Is there any type of alarms?
No.
No. No, it's not. Yeah, your access card should give you access.
The card should do the exact same thing that your key would have done before. It lets you in. There should be no issue with... I mean, the parts of the building, of course, will be locked. I mean, that you have to have the card to unlock, but because you have complete access to the building 24/7. If your car is not working right, you
can well, mine was good. I got this right now. Mine was sort of a good way.
Okay.
That's all I got right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I can get it. Well, I have in fact had some out of town guests come, and I've been here in the building and took the door down and used Bob to get in and show around the building. I don't know if I was sort of being recorded on camera. It's fully accessible with the access that I have.
Why don't
you take it back?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, I don't have a problem with that. Yeah, I've never had a problem with that.
Iron works perfect except for when you put it on.
Your system does keep a log of, yeah, when you access that electronic activation, it keeps a log of it, so it does know that. Other than that, no, I don't have a problem with it. It's your building, public's building.
If the staff is okay with us coming in, I don't have any reason to go in any offices, but I know people from time to time will ask you if they'd like to see it, so I'd rather escort someone in here during working hours, but that's the only other way I can get it done. I would prefer to refrain from coming in here on after hours, but I'm glad we're able to. And that just know it doesn't cause a problem, so you give me all the flexibility I need.
How do you
determine?
So move.
All right. You know it. Right up front.
All right, I'm going to rush along.